you like, we're going to be reading the scriptures together. But if you'd like, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 6 again in our series on the armor. And as you're turning, I'd just like to say that I shouldn't be shocked by it, but I still am, just in recent weeks and months, getting word of individuals who had been stellar examples of what a Christian should be and had such tremendous testimonies, and then suddenly to discover that they had allowed Satan to destroy their life and their testimony. How many know this? He never gives up trying to destroy Christians. And I don't know, of course I'm not mentioning any names or trying to give details that would call anyone to mind, but it's just been shocking. Folks you thought would never, ever leave their testimony, leave the house of God, leave the faith, and to just sit back and watch them allow Satan to totally destroy their lives. You know, I was thinking as the young people were singing, how many remembers when Christ won the great victory over Satan in the wilderness during that temptation? Remember, Christ was victorious. And Christ left the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit. But I believe it's Luke said that when Jesus won that victory over Satan, that Satan departed Christ for a season. In other words, he was coming back. And so we got a battle on our hands, but it's like I've been preaching, it's a winnable battle. It's a winnable battle. Amen. Now, I got a new computer, and my battery's only got half the life my other battery did. You guys are acting like it's a good thing. I was thinking it was a bad thing. So I'm thinking my battery may run out before I get done tonight. Let's pause for prayer before we look into God's Word. Heavenly Father, we want the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts. Lord, we have this treasure, these earthen vessels. Lord, speak to us, these that have gathered. Lord, in dedication to you, that have gathered tonight. May they not leave disappointed. May they have heard from heaven. We thank you for the singing, the worship, the prayer time. Now, Lord, speak to us from the Word. God, touch my heart with the Holy Spirit. God, help us to realize that we are going to overcome. We are going to triumph over the enemy in the power and the might of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The armor. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Don't you like the sound of that? Strong in the Lord, power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I hear folks say all the time, I've just done everything I know to do. That's what Paul said, when you've done everything you know to do, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He provides the armor, we put it on. He provides the strength, we make the stand. Amen? And the verse we want to look at tonight, and the item of armor is this: and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Tonight we want to talk about the sandals of the gospel. We could have said shoes or whatever, but the Roman soldier wore sandals. So the sandals of the gospel. And so here's our model of the Roman armor tonight, and we're going to talk about these sandals right here. Paul said that we should put on, have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, I don't know if anyone's like me, but I always hated going barefooted when I was young. I'm extremely tenderfooted. Anyone else here tenderfooted? I even tried to toughen up my feet one summer. I said, I'm going to toughen up my feet. I couldn't do it. And I remember one time someone had dropped us off at a park uptown during the summertime, and we didn't have our shoes on, and it was about 10 or 11 blocks home. And so I had to walk home without shoes. I thought I wouldn't live to tell the story. I mean, the asphalt was hot and the sand burrs there in Oklahoma. And I would walk a little bit, and then I would have to find a shadow, or I'd be dancing. I just almost didn't make it home. I was so tender-footed. And when you're tender-footed, it's hard to walk. It's hard to stand, amen, unless the ground is carpeted or something of that matter. Amen. It's hard when your feet aren't shod. You know why some Christians have such a difficult time walking this Christian life and making a stand against the enemy? It's because they're attempting to walk and attempting to stand with their feet shod with the wrong thing. They're not standing on the right thing. It was about 2 weeks ago, Brother Steve, or someone led the song, Standing on the Promises. And as we broke out into that hymn, my heart was stirred. I'm telling you, it makes a difference what you're trying to stand on. I mean, that's been the message up to this point. Stand. Make a stand against the enemy. Stand in the evil day. But if we're going to stand, we have to be standing on the right thing. Aren't you glad we have the promises of God to stand on? Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And no doubt this is almost a replica of what Paul would have seen a Roman soldier wear, this leather sandal, and this is what he was using as an analogy to the gospel of peace. And he said, just like that Roman soldier put on those sandals, there's something we can put on, and it will help us stand. What one is standing on is important. Now, I don't know how tough this person's feet is, but I'd hate to try to fight a battle barefooted with all these rocks here, these sharp rocks, and try to maneuver and use my sword and fight the enemy and stand against him barefooted on rocks like these. It would be tough. But unless, I just realized I made a typing error, unless our feet are standing upon the right thing, if they're not standing on the right thing, we'll never be able to stand our ground against the attacks of Satan. I don't know how you feel, but I want to stand, don't you? I don't want to be overrun. I don't want the enemy, amen, to take advantage of me and to tempt me. And so it's important on what we stand. It's important. But I want you to notice in these verses the provision that God gives. In fact, that's been the story all through these verses. God gives us exactly what we need to make our stand. Whatever we need, God has provided it. And here again, God has provided us exactly what we need to stand. You see, the point is we need something other than our own resources. You know, sometimes we can feel like we're getting pretty intelligent about this serving God stuff, and we've been around the block a few times, and we just know how to do battle with the enemy. But I want you to know, we need something beyond our own resources. And so in the analogy here, we need more than just the skin of our own feet. We need what God provides us to make that stand. Oh, I'm glad He's provided. And Paul said here, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The word shod literally means to bind underneath. Literally, it means having underbounded feet. Something under your feet that has been bound on. And thus the word sandal. To bind underneath, and thus the Roman sandal. There were leather thongs that went over the foot and across the legs to securely fasten on some thick leather soles on which the Roman soldier could stand that he might be able to fight the enemy. And often, just to give them more traction, they would take nails and nail them into the bottom of those leather soles. And so the soles often were studded with nails to allow the soldier to rivet himself firmly to the ground and make a stand. You know, I just get tired of seeing some people let the devil just push them around. It just appears that he's able to push them here and there and just push them out of the way here and overcome them there. I'm telling you, there comes a time we need to rivet ourselves firmly to the ground and make a stand. And so really, you know, we talk about cleats now, but it was the Romans that had the first cleats. They had these nails in their sandals. And I don't know if Paul's guard, that Roman soldier, had the nails in his sandal, but somewhere Paul was getting this idea that if we're going to stand, we need something that'll give us the traction and the ability to be firmly rooted as the enemy would attack us. You know, I read quite a bit of Civil War history, and recently I was just reading about that Valley campaign led by Stonewall Jackson. And I know you've heard this about the Revolutionary War, but it was true about the Civil War, especially for the Confederates. They were much worse outfitted than was the Northern Army. And there were times that in an army of 18 and 20,000, up to a third of those soldiers didn't even have shoes. They were trying to fight. They were trying to march miles over rocky and thorny ground, and they didn't even have shoes. They didn't have boots. And it was told over and over that in the winter time that they would actually leave bloody footprints in the snow. And here they're trying to fight a battle, and they're trying to dig in, and they're trying to fight hand to hand with bayonet, and they're barefoot. And it was a great disadvantage. In fact, that great battle of Gettysburg was largely fought at Gettysburg because the Confederates didn't have enough shoes, and they heard a rumor, which was true, that there were warehouses in Gettysburg filled with shoes, and so they were actually sending a party to Gettysburg to get those shoes for their soldiers when they encountered the Union Army. And then we have that bloody war of Gettysburg, or Battle of Gettysburg. But the point was, that was a great disadvantage to those soldiers, not having the footwear that they needed to make a stand to fight the battle. But we have no excuse. God has provided us exactly what we need to make a stand, and therefore we can make a stand. Hallelujah, we can stand riveted and rooted and firm against the attack of Satan. Stand therefore, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. God has provided what we need to stand on in order to stand on. Not run, not flee, but to stand on. Stand therefore. So that's the provision God has made. But then in this verse, there's the preparation that is possible. The attack will come. We just need to be set and fixed. When the attack comes, we're ready for it. Now notice again what Paul says, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The word preparation literally means make ready or made ready, prepared. It's in readiness. I don't know. You know, a guy gets ready to start a race, and we always have that little thing, ready. And here he is. He's ready to go. We're talking about being ready for battle, and Paul uses a word, preparation. That means ready. When the onslaught of Satan comes, when the attack comes, we're ready. And I don't know what you call the guy on the front line. Is that a lineman in football? You've seen how they'll dig in. They're ready for the onslaught. They're ready for the attack. They're ready to receive the inrushing, the incoming rusher. And they dig their feet into the turf. And that's what Paul says. He said there's a preparation to make in order to stand. You get rooted in something. Well, what are we going to get rooted in? What is our shoes? What gives us what we need to be ready? Amen. And I thought I had a scripture here, but evidently I left it out. But let me just read it to you. It's a psalm. It says, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They've digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. And then the psalmist says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praises. He's not saying my heart is repaired. My heart is fixed. He's saying my heart is prepared. My heart is fixed. It's solid. It's ready. It's prepared. And our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What kind of readiness is it? It's a readiness to face the attack of Satan. Listen, I don't go looking for a fight. I'm not that kind of person. Even some folks are. You know, they go looking for a fight. You know, some people get a lot of bravado and say, "Where's Satan at? I'll go after him. I'll take him on," you know. I mean, they're just looking for a fight. I'm not looking for a fight, but I believe we need to be ready for the fight. I believe we can be ready for this. Is the preparation of the gospel of peace. He's going to attack this, but when he attacks, he's going to find that we're watching. He's going to find that we're prepared. He's going to find that we're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When he attacks, he's going to find that we have put on the whole armor of God. Amen. We can never say, "Well, I just never expected Satan to give me a hard time." Wouldn't that be a ridiculous statement? I mean, I'm really under attack of Satan. I just can't believe he'd attack me. I'm telling you, that's his business. But I'm telling you, when he attacks, we can be ready. What is this preparedness? Well, you've got to put it all together. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. To be prepared with the gospel of peace means to be ready to share the gospel. And if you're ready to share the gospel, you are ready to face the enemy. Now listen, I'm going to put all of it together tonight right here. This is so important. I really believe that's true. If I am in a position in my heart, in the attitude of my soul, that I am prepared to share the gospel to someone, a family member, someone I meet, God opens the door. If I'm in an attitude, in a position in my heart to share the gospel with somebody, I am prepared also to face the attack of Satan. I want you to think about that. Paul's really telling us something here. You know how it is, and I'm just talking the realities here. Sometimes if somebody needed to get saved right then, and it was up to us to share the gospel, say get saved, we're in such a state of mind and heart, we would be the wrong person for them to depend on to tell them how to get saved. How many knows what I'm talking about? Our minds are distracted, things are going on, or temptations, and we're just not prepared to share the gospel with them. But I think what Paul's telling us here, it's a real key to our Christian life. He's telling us if we'll stay, listen to me, this is so important. Young people, this is so important. If we'll stay in the place, in the position in our hearts that at any time we could share the gospel of Christ, we could witness to someone, we could try to win them to the Lord. If our heart stays in that condition that at any moment we could share the gospel with someone, we are also in the position of readiness in our heart to face Satan. It's a real key here to our spiritual life. And I think you know what I'm talking about. There's sometimes, if we're honest, we're just not ready to share the gospel. I'm not saying unwilling, but our hearts are distracted, and our hearts are caught up in this and that, and we don't feel it and we don't think it. But if we can get in that position of preparedness to share the gospel, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, if we can be in a position where we're ready to share the gospel, our hearts are also in the position of readiness to do battle with the enemy. Oh, hallelujah. Try it sometime. I mean, get alone and pray, "God, I want to be ready to share the gospel today." You know what you're going to find? You're going to find you'll be ready to face any attack of Satan. The preparation of the gospel of peace. But also it's a readiness. Being ready to live the gospel, one is also ready to face the attack of Satan. Not just sharing the gospel, but when I'm in a position in my heart that my heart is prepared to live the gospel, I'm also in a position where I can face the attack of Satan. Paul says, "And how will they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." I know he's talking about the preacher here, but that's not just someone that gets behind the pulpit. That's anyone that shares the gospel. It's a beautiful thing when their feet are prepared to share the gospel of peace. And I'm telling you, that'll bring real beauty and victory into any person's life, is to determine they're going to keep their hearts and keep their heart in a condition where they're ready to share the gospel. That'll bring a real beauty in their life, and it will prepare them to face the attack of Satan. Last of all, tonight, there's a proclamation. This just one little item of armor. There's a proclamation that is uplifting and motivating. He said, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, gospel is one of those words that we say, and we forget what it really means. But gospel really comes straight from the Greek word euangelion, which is two words. Whenever you see that ou or that you, that means good. And angelion, we get a word angel from that, or messenger. And so gospel literally comes from the word good message. Good message. Or we would say good news. And I know we know that. I just wanted to reiterate it. Amen. The gospel literally is good news. How many realizes it all over afresh tonight? This isn't something sour. This isn't something painful. This isn't something unpleasant. Amen. The gospel of Christ is good news. Amen. We'd have to admit that it's the best news that we've ever heard. That through Christ there's salvation. As Brother Brian read tonight, through Christ there's hope. Through Christ there's peace. I mean, it's good news. I don't care what kind of situation, how bad a situation a person's in, if they hear the gospel, that's good news for them. Hallelujah. And Paul said, our feet shod with the preparation of the good news of peace. The gospel of peace. Now remember, we're talking about making a stand. And so listen to me carefully. If a Christian tries to stand on anything else except the good news of Christ, he'll eventually succumb to the attack of Satan. Now, I'm not trying to bring anything to mind, but I'm going to tell you something. You can try to stand on man's application of religion. In other words, this is what I think the Christian's life is all about, and these are my pet peeves I'm going to stand for, and I'm going to take this standard right here, and I'm going to make it the centerpiece of what I believe. If you try standing on that, one day you're going to succumb to the attack of Satan. On the other hand, there's those that saying, well, you know what this is all about? This is about reaching my full potential. And what this is all about, this is about finding the secret formula so I can be rich. And this is about finding the secret key where I can really advance in the world and at my job. And you try to stand on that, and you call that faith. You try to stand on that, you're going to falter at the attack of Satan. It doesn't matter what it is. Trying to stand on something other than the gospel. Some folks, they try to stand on the joyless idea that the gospel is just a bunch of do's and don'ts and a bunch of miserable living that you gotta have, just like you gotta take bitter medicine. And they try standing on that. Don't smile. Don't laugh. You know, this is a miserable thing serving God. And you know, God's hateful and we need to be hateful. You try to stand on that. And when Satan comes, you're going to succumb to his attack. And we could talk all about all kinds of things. You try to stand just on the good feeling of the thing. Well, I remember how they used to shout. And you try to stand on that, and Satan will overcome you or your past experience. But I'm telling you, if you're standing on the gospel, the good news, and what is the good news? Well, it starts with bad news, that man is a sinner and he cannot save himself, and he could not save himself. And so God sent his Son in the flesh to live the life and to die like a man in our place and for our sins. And they put him in a tomb, but he rose again. And because he rose again, there's victory over sin. There's victory over Satan. There's victory over the world. There's victory over my problem. And not only did he rise again, but he ascended to the Father. And he sent back the Holy Ghost. And he gave promise that he's going to come again. If you'll stand on that good news, you can stand when Satan attacks. That's why in Pentecost they used to preach over and over the four square gospel. Jesus the Savior, Jesus the baptizer in the Holy Ghost, Jesus the sanctifier, and Jesus the coming King. And they had a victory over Satan when they were standing on the gospel. of the good news. Amen. Well, I got a hold of myself. That's good, or ahead of myself. Maybe I need to get a hold of myself. But to stand on anything else, regardless of your determination, regardless of your tenacity, you'll ultimately be overcome by the enemy. I don't need to stand on my own ideas. I need to stand on this book right here. Folks say, well, I think you'll fall to the enemy. But if you can say, I'm standing on the promises, I'm standing on the good news, you know, won't need to be overcome, but you can overcome. What we stand on is the same gospel that the apostles preached. Think about that. That ought to be the test. You know, I've used that as a test so often when some new thing came down the pike in the religious realm. The first test I use, Brother Brian, is that what the apostles preached? And I want us to hear this. If it's anything other than what the apostles preached, and how do we know what they preached? We got the book. If it's not what the apostles preach, it's not ground we can stand on. It's not shoes that will undershod us so we can stand against the enemy. But if we will have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, people find it ever increasingly difficult to stand when they lose the joy of the gospel and what it can do. Well, I got to tell us that again. People find it ever increasingly difficult to stand when they lose the joy of the gospel and what it can do. We must never forget, Sister Bra, this is good news. May we never make it anything else, because if it's not good news, we lose the joy of the gospel and what the gospel can do. We don't get excited about what the gospel can do. It can turn a life around. It can sober up a drunkard. It can straighten out a young person. It can take rebellion out of the heart. It can set free from demonic powers. Hallelujah. And when we have a joy of what the gospel can do, we can stand against the enemy. And then last of all, I might have said last of all a while ago, I'm not sure, but I promise this time. Paul talks about the peace that prevails. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, there's so much available here to us believers if we could just get a hold of it. How many really believes there's a peace of God that passeth all understanding that shall keep our hearts and our minds? It's peace, calm, rest, quiet, peace. Here's the marvel for the Christian. If your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the devil is attacking, and you can stand in the midst of that attack with a calm and a rest and a quiet to receive his attack. Only the gospel can do that. In ourselves, we get full of anxiety, we get frantic, but there's a gospel of peace that will give you rest in facing the attack of Satan. You can do so because you have good news. You know, when you get really good news, everything else pales. Let me give you an illustration. You're barely getting by. The bills are piled up on your desk. Took a pay cut. And that very day, you got up. You had two flat tires. The wife's car, it blew. The engine blew. You barely got to work. You got a call from school. The kids are throwing up. They're sick. Now, what happens when you get all that bad news where you was already at? What does that do? Does it make you feel better and better as the day goes along? You feel worse and worse. But let me create another scenario. Just the night before, you had talked with the lawyer that said, oh, Uncle So-and-so, you forgot you had. Oh, rich Uncle So-and-so, you forgot you had. He died. Now, don't rejoice over that, but the lawyer tells you that he left you $2 million. It's verified. That's pretty good news, don't you say? Oh, I know that wouldn't do anything for you guys, but you know, Now, let's use the same scenario. You get up in the morning, you have two flat tires. Your wife's engine blows on her car. You get a call from school. The kids are sick and throwing out. It's all different now, isn't it? I got two flat tires. Big deal. I'm going to go down to the lot this afternoon and pick out any vehicle I want. My wife's car engine blew up. Big deal. I've got $2 million. The kids are sick. I'll take them right to the doctor. Get the best medicine. The good news takes over all the bad news. And don't you think it ought to be that way in our Christian experience? The good news ought to take over all the bad news and give us a peace. You know, we get upset with problems because we don't have the resources to meet them. And we get filled with anxiety. But if we could only realize the provision God has made, we could have a peace, because whatever comes, we know what He has promised and what He's going to provide. Praise the Lord. Many find it hard to walk this Christian walk and stand their ground against the enemy because they have on the wrong shoes. I told this before. When we were at Nicaragua, Mike Durth was my roommate, and on the first morning, we were tired. I mean, we had that long flight, and then we just got there and barely ate supper, and went to service up on the side of the mountain, and we were pretty tired, and so we went to sleep, and then Brother Setzer had us up early for devotions and all that kind of stuff. So I got up, and I was still pretty tired, and I don't think I had my glasses on, so there are my shoes, or so I thought. And I thought, man, it must really be humid in here. These things have shrunk or something. I don't know what's going on. My toes were curled up, and I was trying to walk, and it was painful. I kept looking at him and looking at him, and I had Mike's shoes on. I don't know if he threw them away after that or not. But I was already thinking, how am I going to walk on that mountain this today, and you know, do all that painting and stuff, and walk around with these shoes feeling like they feel? I mean, it makes a difference what you got on your feet. And Paul said it makes a difference of what we try to make our stand in. And we've got this gospel of peace. How many believes He can give peace in the midst of the storm? We can stand on the right thing. Music, would you come? Oh, He's provided it. It's a great gospel. I get excited when I think about what the gospel can do in people's life if they just allow it. And that joy will enable me to make a stand against the enemy. You know, when the enemy just wreaks havoc in our lives, when we've lost the joy of what God is able to do. God can do it. Oh, what a gospel. It's changed so many lives. And you know, it's not finished either. In 2010, we've been seeing it around here, the gospel is still changing lives. So what about it? We're speaking spiritually. Are your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Are you making your stand on the good news of the gospel? Let's stand across the building. Father, thank You for all that You've provided. Lord, help us to appropriate by faith and believe, Lord, in what You've provided. Thank You for the good news, Lord, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. Thank You, Lord, for the difference You made in our life. And when the enemy comes, Lord, we need not panic and be filled with anxiety, but we can stand on the promises of the gospel. It's only going to get better. There's only victory ahead. There's only peace to be had in the midst of the storm. Bless Your people, Lord, tonight. In Christ's name, amen.